NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to That's What I Heard. Coming up on today's pod, we have legendary comedian Courtney B. plus Triborough Trina. It's about to get very New York in here. Put on a Yankees hat and let it happen, hon.
Here we go. Let's get these questions from the DMs.
Yep.
All right, well, that's what I heard. So what do you want to tell you?
Hello, everyone. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Frex.
I've just returned from the big solar eclipse. I've harnessed the power of the moon and the sun. I am reborn.
When you came in, I was like, she has something going on. I can see it. I can see it in the hair.
It's planetary.
Yeah.
It's planetary, folks.
You look rested.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't rest very well. It was a lot of like not washing my face. A lot of fights over what, like I... It's a lot of fights over what constitutes a piece of shit hotel. Mm. You know, men and women have different opinions on this.
Yes.
I mean, I need Holiday Inn or better, folks. Really, yeah. I need Fairfield Marriott or better. Motel 6, not my vibe. Some people think it's perfectly okay.
No.
So, anyway. Actually, we got... Listen, let me start at the beginning. So, we went... So, I drove to Ohio to watch the... complete total eclipse happen. Now, I don't want to be a hater, but I was seeing everyone is posting from New York and other places over here and in Cali, whatever. And I don't want to be a hater, but I'm like, what are you looking at? There's no eclipse happening there.
So what you saw was the real deal.
Yeah. I mean, you have to drive to the path of totality so that you see the moon completely move in front of the sun. And it becomes completely dark, or it's actually not even completely dark. It's like the most beautiful, strange twilight you've ever seen. And then you look up and you see, you can take the glasses off once it's total, and you can see the most beautiful, like awe-inspiring ring of the sun's light coming from behind the moon. It's like, it feels like otherworldly. Mm. And then it's like that for 4 minutes and people are just like crying and cheering. And I gotta be honest, so was I.
Really?
Yeah. It was like, it was breathtakingly beautiful.
And you think it was primarily because you were in a place where you could see totality?
Not primarily because, only because.
Okay, got it.
Solely because. The whole thing of like looking up with the glasses and just watching the moon move in front of the sun.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So I wanted to be a hater. Because I just was confused. I was like, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
There's no eclipse, really. You can see the little moon moving in front of the sun, but it never gets dark and you don't experience the umbra, it's called.
Yeah.
That's the ring of light around the moon.
Mm.
So, but then, you know what I thought? I said, why would I be negative or bring negativity towards the only thing we've done together all year?
Like as a people.
As a people.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was pretty fucking cool that people are coming together to all look at the same. I mean, the ratings are off the charts. Everyone's watching the same. I mean, TNT could never. The ratings for that solar eclipse off the charts.
Yeah.
But just that everyone was coming together and allowing themselves to be nerdy, curious, whimsical, and positive. I had to pull myself back. I go, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hate on them. So I only had that post up for about 2 minutes. And I took it down. But I did post. I was like, what are you guys looking at over there? But it was absolutely incredible. I don't know, man. It's hard to explain because it does sound stupid and lame. Like,
oh, you're going to watch the moon from the sun? Cool.
But then you see it and you go, that's... infinity. I felt like I just had this feeling of like infinity. Like this is nature.
So it, you really felt it.
I'm telling you, and I'm, you know, I'm like as cynical as they come.
Sure.
I felt that shit. And you know what? I was looking. So once, like I said, once the moon fully gets over the sun and you just have this beautiful, like stunning ring of light, you could take the glasses off and just look right up at it then. Mm. And I was staring at the umbra, at the ring of light. And all it was telling me, it just kept repeating over and over in my head, what will be, will be. Mm.
So you had a real sort of spiritual experience.
Yeah, but only because I allowed myself to suspend my cynicism and my negativity and how cool I am.
Right.
And just be a dork.
That's a hard thing to do.
I had to put the vape down. It was just awesome. It was awesome. But then on the way back, we stopped at my favorite place in the world. Do you know what that is, Michael?
That sounds like the Borgata to me.
It does sound like the Borgata, doesn't it?
It does.
And I gotta tell you guys some bad news. The Borgata has fallen. Yeah. I repeat, the Borgata has fallen. I hate the Borgata now.
What the hell happened?
I just didn't like it anymore.
How could you turn your back on, honestly, one of my favorite places as well?
I know, but it's like, how many times have you been? Maybe 3 times in a year is too much.
Not
maybe
for me,
once a year. It was like, it was, well, first, you know, immediately upon entering, I get the butterflies in my stomach. When you go to the check-in counter and they go, Fury King? Fury King Suite? I say, yes, that's me.
How do you not feel like a big shot?
Of course I do. And then you walk in, you jump on the bed like you're a little kid. Yep. You run around and go, this is amazing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But just the whole vibe of the Borgata was just not doing it for me this time. I went to my favorite place in the world, the sports betting lounge.
Yep. Great, great sports book.
It was a Tuesday too, so.
Maybe that's what it is.
It was
maybe,
a little
did you feel
sad.
Like a degenerate? Because AC is a sad place during the week.
Yeah, I guess I did. I guess I did. We were, that night, we were just looking out the windows of the biggest room in the Borgata. And in bathrobes. And we both just go, I hate it here.
Yeah, well, that is kind of
it's the, over. The thing it's fallen.
That is a bit of the thing
it's
about
disgusting.
Atlantic
and then,
City. It's
and
gross.
And then 11:30, I went down. What was I doing? Why did I have to go down? It was also an early night. We were exhausted, like 5 days on the road. But when I was down in the sports book, I placed a bet on the Knicks. Mm. And then the Knicks won. But I went back down later to cash it out. It was like 11:30. They were closed. And the cleaning crews were coming out in the Borgata, like all over the Borgata. I'm like, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
We're done?
Yeah.
That's just not how I remember it. That's not the Borgata I remember.
I think this has a lot to do with the trip being a date, like a during the week, daytime trip. Because honestly, Tuesday and Wednesday in Atlantic City that's when you see people at the tables that are like,
yeah,
they're risking it all.
That are losing their families.
Yes, exactly.
CPS was down there with
yes.
them. CPS was at the roulette table monitoring the situation.
I can tell you, I've had a few experiences. Like the last time I went, my grandma is a bit of a gambling junkie, mm-hmm. like truly.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I went down, I was staying at Caesars, but she had to check us in because she got me and my friends like a discounted room because of all her perks from all the gambling she does.
Mm-hmm.
And she took us over to the Borgata where they have probably the best poker room in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And my grandma just, again, it was like, I think we went on a Friday. My grandma basically just like, she got us there. She's like, all right, you all good? All right, I'm out of here. And she just disappeared into the casino. And I was just like, how much money did my grandma go on and lose?
Wow. And how much did she?
I mean, we never know, but I'll tell you what, AC has furnished a lot of my grandma's like kitchen and apartment with like appliances that she's won and
air fryer by Borgata.
Yes, exactly.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I think I might have seen your grandma down there.
She might have been there.
I think I might have seen her because, yeah, I was like sitting at the, I was doing a little joker poker, watching the game, blah, blah, blah. Last 2 times I did that, I was having so much fun.
Yeah.
Now it's like, the bartender was talking to these two guys next to me who work for some type of organization or company that represents cops who want to sue, I guess, their employers or someone else. I'm not sure. Cops who want to sue people. How about that? Hey, I'd rather them sue than shoot.
Sure.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
And so the guy's just taking calls like, yep, it's fucked up. They knew, he had a gun on him. They did you wrong, brother. All right. Which was kind of compelling. I like to listen to stuff like that.
Of course. I figured that was right up your alley.
I was enjoying that part of it. But then, I like to know what's going on.
Right.
But then like the bartender was telling these guys like, this is, the Borgata is the only place in AC that makes money. It's the only profitable casino there. And the management, the owners have decided to just kind of let it go and just put in the bare minimum of maintenance and whatever to continue to make it a sellable property so that they could just sell it, basically.
Interesting.
I said, well, isn't that sad? Because I could feel that.
Yeah.
Okay? O.J. Simpson is dead.
Mm.
Did he do it, Mike?
I tend to think so, yeah.
I tend to think so. You know, usually the murderers are the bench guys. It's rare to get a superstar. This is like, this would be like, today would be like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Killing Gisele Bündchen.
Yep.
Or not.
Yes. Yeah. Being acquitted of
but
killing.
But that's like how big, like he wasn't like some scrub player.
Right.
And I was just looking up his credentials today. I was like, oh, he was like really one of the most famous guys. He was no Aaron Hernandez.
No, he was one of the best running backs that had ever lived up to that point. And now,
And then it said something like he was considered one of the top three most recognizable faces before the murder trial.
Yep.
That's a very famous man.
Yes.
The Bronco chase. I was reading about that today. What a fucking moment in time. But here's what I did not know, because it was not applicable to me back then, but it applies to me now. The Bronco chase happened during the 1994 NBA Finals.
Yes, it did.
And they had to interrupt the game.
Knicks Rockets.
And it was the Knicks.
Yep.
I couldn't believe my ears and eyes when I saw that. Can you imagine being $1,500 deep on DraftKings during the NBA Finals?
Back then, it wasn't DraftKings. Back then, it was $1,500 deep to the mafia.
To Tommy.
Yes.
And you're $1,500 deep. You're watching the NBA Finals. You need one more rebound from Josh Hart. And Tom Brady kills his wife. And they cut into the game. And he ain't watching that game anymore.
Yeah.
Or I think it said that like they made the game small in the corner and just went to like 24/7 Bronco coverage.
Yeah.
Now the deal with the Bronco thing was, if I remember correctly, they had filed the charges.
Yeah, they were coming to arrest
him. They were coming to arrest him. He was in the back with a gun to his head and a bag with a disguise and some cash.
Yes.
And they were just cruising around, low speed. And then it was such a low speed chase, it said, that like crowds were gathering to cheer. Like this was Lincoln's casket.
Honestly, man, it was such a shit. Looking back at it, it was such a L.A. Hollywood shit show, the whole thing, because he was so famous. And it was also just like, at that time, that was like pornography for the news organizations to be like, we have, not only do we have a chase in L.A., which people love, but it's a very famous black athlete. Like, let's get it on there. Interrupt whatever you have to get this on television. I'd seen something where it was like, apparently, I think Domino said it was like, they've never had more pizza deliveries go out than the day that OJ was on TV on The Chase.
But was that just for the finals or not?
No, it was for OJ.
They said it was watched by 95 million people. Yeah. Only the solar eclipse tops that.
Right. It's nuts. I don't think that we have anything really, other than the eclipse. We don't have a lot of things that I think translate to like what.
It's also like the time in history where you could, only one person could get that on film and only one person could show it to you.
Yeah.
Now it would be everyone on the side of the road updating on TikTok with their own phones.
Right, right.
And it would be all scattered everywhere.
Yep.
It was I'd say the thing I find most compelling emotionally about the whole OJ thing is the origins of the Kardashian family in this legendary case. So Robert Kardashian and OJ, I believe, went to USC together. And then, so they stayed friends. And then Nicole Brown was best friends with Kris Jenner. I believe I have that right. And then they had separated. Robert Kardashian and Kris Jenner had separated. But when this went down, Kris Jenner believed that OJ did it. Basically killed her best friend.
Right.
If someone kills my best friend, I'm going to be so mad.
No shit.
I'm not going to be happy about that. I'm very upset.
Yeah.
And she, so Kris Jenner had said that for the past 17 years that Nicole Brown and OJ were together, Nicole Brown had been keeping evidence, like photos and other evidence of physical abuse at the hands of OJ. And Kris Jenner said that Nicole Brown was showing the evidence to her so that someone knew what was going on. So that when she found, so when she turned up murdered, Kris Jenner obviously was like, he did it. Mm-hmm. Whereas Robert Kardashian's like, now OJ's my best friend and I have to do what I have to do. And he went and represented him in court.
Right.
Now, would we have the Kardashians without this OJ thing? And then, not to complicate matters, many people say, Khloe Kardashian.
Yes.
Daughter of OJ.
Yep. That's the rumor.
Kind of mean.
Yeah. I think because it is an internet insult that Khloe for a while, I think, had kind of like a, you know, more masculine body, which I don't think she's really worked herself out of that.
She's my favorite one.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it was the internet being mean to her.
It's mean.
Yeah.
It's mean. I love Khloe. I don't know. I just find that all very emotionally compelling. Like what must it have been like in that house where the kids had to choose sides?
Yeah.
Hold on. Trina's texting me. I'll cut this out. Might be an emergency.
Or she might be asking if you want cookies or something.
We've had multiple crises across various households and the rain has been the icing. With Courtney and I about a half hour behind. Sorry. 5:30.
Oh, that's fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
No worries. I'll cut all this out. No worries, gals. Be safe. Love ya. Okay. Now, the other obviously compelling thing was the racial aspect of it. Because I guess people say that OJ obviously did the murder, but he was acquitted because, let's face it, the American criminal justice system does owe the Black American man a few. I'm not even sure this covers the death.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. They, like,
it sure does not.
They owe him a few. So I kind of tend to think, let it come out in the wash.
Let what
it's karmic justice. Like, yeah, okay. He did it and he got off. And that sucks specifically for, I mean, it's not even sucks, doesn't even cover. It's horrific for the families of the two people that were murdered.
Mm-hmm. You know,
but if you zoom out big picture, it kind of is a debt that was owed.
Right. But the thing that I find very interesting about the OJ stuff is obviously you can't know it in the moment because what was that? 90, was it 94?
Yes.
Did it happen? All right. So like at that time, he's a guy, a very famous man on trial for this murder. Mm-hmm. But then post OJ Simpson murder trial, there's all this weird stuff. Like he writes the book, mm-hmm. If I Did It. Mm-hmm. There's just like all this shit that even if you thought he was guilty at the time, after the trial, it just seems impossible that he didn't do it.
Right.
Based off of like how he acted after the trial. And then he went to jail for other criminal activity.
He went to jail, I believe, for armed robbing someone who had his memorabilia.
Yes.
Is that right?
In Vegas, I think.
All right. So then again, the pendulum of karma swings back and forth.
Right.
He got let off because there is an unpayably large debt from the criminal justice system.
Right.
To the American Black man and family. So he got away with that one. And then the karma went back, I guess. So they're like, hey, he got away with that one. We'll get him on this one.
Right. Right. But it is just like, I think it's proof positive that he's capable of committing crimes, which right. is something that I think was unthinkable in 94 because he was on television. He was in movies. Right. He was the juice. You know, he was the running back for the Bills. NFL great.
Really?
And yeah. He was, you know, he was an
awesome. He was the juice?
Yeah. The juice is loose.
What do you mean? This is what they said about him?
Yeah. When he would break out on a big run.
Oh, because he was good at running?
Oh, he was running. He was okay, a Hall of Fame running back. Got yeah.
Okay.
So it's just, it's odd because you can't really, we look back at those things like that with hindsight, mm-hmm. knowing what we know now, but right. it's a little different because in 94, you don't know that he's going to get off of this and then write a book about what he would have done if he killed his wife.
What did the book say? Can we look up an excerpt or something?
Oh, surely find
it. Let's have a look at what the book said. If he did do it.
If I did it. There's wild stuff. I remember reading excerpts a while ago where he mentioned having a psychotic break and he kind of didn't really remember exactly what happened. Here's some. I found an article here. The most chilling quotes.
Let's have a listen.
Simpson recounts in the book, the hypothetical is that this guy Charlie shows up and I don't know why he'd been behind Nicole's house.
Who's Charlie?
So Charlie, I remember hearing all about this. Charlie, according to this book and according to psychologists, if I have this right, Charlie is like almost like a person that doesn't exist, but it's like another person in OJ's brain that's like kind of telling him to do some of this stuff. So this is like the psychotic break.
I'm sorry. Is this a novel or what is this?
I guess technically, yes, it's a fictional novel because otherwise it would be a confession.
Right. What is this? Okay, let's hear it.
But yeah, all right. So in the book, the hypothetical is that this guy, Charlie, shows up and I don't know why he'd been behind Nicole's house, but he told me, you wouldn't believe what's going on over there. So mm-hmm. Charlie's telling him to do this shit. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, well, whatever's going on over there, it's got to stop, right? We hooked up together. I'm kind of broad stroking this and we get in the Bronco and go over. In the hypothetical, in the alley, the hypothetical, I put on a wool cap. So he's going over what he's going to do.
Okay.
It's odd, isn't it? I remember... is just strange in what's purportedly a what-if scenario. He continues, I always kept a knife in that car for the crazies and stuff because you can't travel with a gun. And I remember Charlie saying, you ain't bringing that. And I didn't, all right? But I believe he took it in the book.
So Charlie is Elf on a Shelf.
Yes, so that's a great way to put it.
So this is if Elf on a Shelf killed Nicole Brown.
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, do you think Charlie made me put $100 on the Detroit Pistons?
Everybody's got a Charlie.
Now, do you think that was Charlie? That's my Elf on a Shelf.
Yeah, well, OJ's Charlie made him stab Nicole Simpson Brown and a waiter to death.
What do you mean, and a waiter? Allegedly. Now I'm offended. No, now my people are on trial.
Ron Goldman.
He was a waiter?
Yeah, he was a waiter. My memory serves right. He Nicole picked him up at a restaurant. He was working
I like
at a restaurant.
That. God bless the waitress who takes home the customer.
Yeah.
Or the, sorry, other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. He asked if the back gate Brown's house was entered by was open, closed, or broken. He replies, I don't recall. I go to the front and I'm looking to see what's going on. Nicole had candles up all the time. She really did. To keep her overheads down, I think. And music was on. And while I was there, a guy shows up. Mm. This guy is Ron Goldman, one of the victims. I really didn't recognize him. I may have seen him around, but I really didn't recognize him to be anyone in the mood I was in. And I started having words with him. I don't know how. I guess you can put the legal disclaimer there to say this is a fictional.
Well, he's
work
also
of fiction.
he's already acquitted. Double Jeopardy. You
right.
seen that movie?
Yeah, right. Totally.
So he's good. Like once you. If you get found guilty, you can appeal to forever.
Right.
If you get found not guilty, we're going streaking.
Right.
Okay. Because it's a wrap.
But this is literally and these are just excerpts, but this is word for word what happened.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just basically Charlie was there with me. And all of a sudden, there's this other person. So if this is true, uh-huh. he had a psychological break and there's just he's kind of blacked out and he's blaming it on this other force that's pulling him into doing this. But he's literally recounting, I had words with this guy who I didn't recognize. I knew he was somebody that Nicole was seeing or whatever. Then we got into this argument, this altercation, and that's that. And then I had a knife in the car that I kept because they were crazy people. Like, it's nuts. This was published and people.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean?
Well, he's no longer with us now.
Yeah.
I do always feel for people's kids. Because no matter if O.J. Simpson sliced his wife from the eyes to the knees with that knife.
Poor woman.
He's got kids who love him. And it's sad because someone dies and then everyone gets on their dumbass podcast and just runs their mouth. Like, it just sucks.
Yeah.
Life is hard. Life is heartbreaking. We're going to take a break.
Nice.
And let things really settle. When we come back, we got Triborough Trina and Courtney B in the studio. See you then.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
All right, everybody. Welcome back from break. We have in the studio right now a huge fucking deal. We have Wild and Out superstar and the host of Bad vs. Wild on the Zeus Network with Nick Cannon, Courtney B.
Ooh,
all right.
What's up, y'all?
And of course, we have our favorite girl, Triborough Trina, as always.
Yeah. What's up?
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Now, as a fellow Wild and Out alum, I want to make you feel comfortable. So we'll start the way all Wild and Out starts. Ready? Mm-hmm. On the hip without the hop. Do you guys still play that game?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
On the hip
without the hop.
Now you got to go on the bottom without the top.
On the flip without the flop.
Trina.
The fuck?
Without the
I'm the goal stop. Without the stop. She's not I'm making, the goal she, without the stop.
Hey, she's not getting any episodes. When I was there, it was always like, who's going to get episodes?
Yeah,
how many episodes you get?
It's still that.
And if you pull something like that.
It's still no that.
I didn't know it would be thrown to me, guys.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Okay, let's try it again.
Okay. On the shoe without the lace.
I'm the cute without the face.
Ah, you said face. Okay, one more time. Let's do it again.
You could have said, I'm OJ without the case.
Oh! But this is why y'all are the superstars, bro. I'm just here for snacks.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm the foot without the shoe.
I'm the girl without the boo.
Woo.
I'm the smell without the poo.
Woo. I'm the cow without the moo.
Oh, shit. I'm the booty without the do.
I'm the hair without the do. Fuck.
This is a fun game, right?
It's been a minute since I played it, but it is, yes.
Once you get into it, it's addictive.
It is. It's mad fun. I love those like warm-ups that they do with us. And I'm always just like, okay.
It's like their version of Zip Zap Zop.
I love Zip Zap Zop.
You do?
It's such a quality game.
Okay. Should we do a round?
You want to do zip?
Yeah, we'll do a round.
What is that? I don't know what zip, zap, zop.
Okay, just get ready to catch a zip or a zop.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Zip.
Zip.
Zop.
Zeep. What the fuck is
no episodes.
Zeep. What's a zeep?
Now, these are all just like nerdy warm-up games.
Okay, I see.
Before you're about to do some improv, you want to get loose. You want to be listening. That's the hardest part is the listening.
It's listening. So true.
But once you start thinking, maybe you found this, Tommy, you found this. Once you start thinking like a battle rapper, you cannot stop.
Literally, that's the key to Wildin' Out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are so fucking smart.
I know. It's astounding.
I can't stand clips. Okay? I cannot stand
I love clips. I love clips.
Fuck you, Charles. I can't stand clips. But clips is a genius. Like his mind is baffling. Like, I mean, he is so smart. And I mean, all of them just quick. And really, once you get into that like roasting and then like wordplay, easy peasy. Yeah. But it always takes me a minute to like adjust because let me tell you something. They will roast your ass from the time you step off that plane.
I mean,
I'm talking about you don't even get a second to breathe. They not even getting paid to roast you. They just be roasting. It'd be like, nigga, I'm off work right now. Like, why do I feel attacked?
They're practicing. So, they're practicing their craft.
Constantly.
They just go, hey, I got to get 10,000 hours of just being mean to people.
Constantly.
But once you start thinking, I think it was Conceited because I was having a hard time being like, wait, how do you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you think of an insult first. And that's the second line.
Oh.
And then you think of some dumb filler line to go before the joke you thought of. So if I wanted to roast Mike, I would be like, now look, Mike, I would never want to steal your wonder. But white boy Stevie without the wonder. No, sorry, never want to steal your thunder.
White you know, boy Stevie but, without the wonder.
Or something like that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. I like
but you
that.
Have to train your mind to think that way.
You do have to train your mind to like really think that way. When I go into like wilding out mode, it's mm-hmm. like I have to do prep like weeks before because it's a mental thing. Yeah. When you go in and you, shit, you be sitting there like shit. It's this one episode, they haven't aired it yet. And it's literally me just fumbling over everything. Right. Cause they put me on a new school. They got me like on a new school and it's all these new people. Yeah. So they're scared to battle rap. Mm-hmm. So I can't not battle rap because they scared. So, you know, to look bad. So right. I'm like, all right. Let me go up here. I'm going against Cassidy. Yeah. I'm going against Clips. I'm going against all of them. I'm like, shut it up, you bitch.
Yeah.
Looking at you make my ass itch. You know, like just dumb shit, right? But I'm just fumbling over my words because it takes time. It really takes time.
It takes time.
It's a craft for sure.
I think the best one I ever had where everyone just went crazy was I was like.
What'd you say?
I was like, look, I would. Well, first, I have a problem saying on beat, so I just take it off.
Yeah, cut the beat.
Cut the beat, even though that's conceited. Yeah, but I go, just take it off.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, I would never go against you. I just want to be friends. But like, how's your hair fake and still has split ends?
Who'd you say that to?
I think it was maybe Jess.
Oh,
I don't
that's
remember.
Funny.
But that was like, I think that was the one I remember where like the whole audience was just like doing that thing where something's so funny, they start running around.
That's like, yeah. Running off the stage.
Yeah, they run, they fall, they audience members that's start running up and down. That was my best one.
I think my best one today, this is me Orman. Shout out to Orman. Orman, she is a bitch, but I love her. She's really good at what she does. She always be talking about my titties. She told me my titties was longer than a CVS receipt. So fucking good. So fucking good, right? So I told her, so she's Israeli. So I said, I forget what I said.
You just said up there, you go, free Palestine.
Right. But I said something like, oh, you're lame. The way you thought this was going to happen is not going to go down. You're the only Israeli. Why don't you call your peeps, see if they can get these gas prices down or some shit like that. And then everybody went nuts. And I was like, okay, that's a hit. That's a banger.
It's the only place you can like still just be that mean to people.
Like,
and
for real.
And it's actually what you're supposed to be doing. And everyone's okay with it.
I know. That's what I love about it. So it's kind of tricky where it's like, okay, bitch, you ain't trying to like kill they pride.
I know.
You're nothing. You're stupid. Yeah. You're dumb. You had an IEP, you bitch.
You had an IEP?
Like you don't want to like, yeah. OD. I'm always like talking to myself like, Courtney, like don't. Like,
dude, telling somebody they have an IEP is fucking hilarious.
I tell people that all the time. I'm like, bitch, you got an IEP.
You just go, look, your father's disappointed in you.
Right,
your mother's
dead. Right, exactly. Like, oh, exactly.
Yo, I know, because you have to find the line, because it is such a strange thing that never happens anywhere else where you have to be mean, but not too mean.
I told E-Man that his hair was holding on for dear life, like in Vogue. But you would have to know that reference. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm finding is that the younger kids are watching these shows now. Mm-hmm. So you have to be a part of that time because they don't understand Hold On is a song by En Vogue.
Right.
You know, they probably never heard that song before. So now I'm doing all these references and they like, huh? And I'm like, this is a good ass line. But it's getting a buzzer because the audience doesn't respond to it. So.
And these buzzers are so arbitrary, let's be honest.
And it truly.
Listen.
Truly. Because it's D-Rec.
Is D-Rec still there? I love
yes, D-Rec. D-Rec is forever there. But D-Rec's amazing. And but he's the you know, go or no. He gonna say whether it gets it or it doesn't. So.
Yep.
Wilding Out is a great time, though.
It really is.
I love it.
And it is for the kids. I used to, when I was on the show, I had, you know, you get all the swag, like you accumulate shirts.
Oh my God, I got sweatshirts. Girl,
I cannot
take another shirt.
Right, exactly.
I mean, because when you first get on there, your family be hitting you up. I want a shirt. I want a shirt. I want a shirt. So then you take, I literally shipped boxes of shirts and sweatshirts and hats and paraphernalia. And then forgot to give it to them. So now I got all this shit just sitting in my house. And it's just too much.
You should have been living. So in my neighborhood, the kids would come buzz my, they found out where I lived.
Really?
And they would ring my buzzer and be like, do you have any shirts?
I love
and
that.
And then I would come down with the, but I gave away all my shirts.
I love that. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I still got hella shit. And then you remember after every season, they give you a bunch of paraphernalia.
Yeah,
too,
a bunch of stuff. I think we got like slides maybe.
Yeah. You get all types of shit.
I'll still wear them. How we doing over there, Triborough?
I'm good. I'm good. When you were talking about the En Vogue thing, I had to cut. I know what you mean about like the audience and like knowing the audience.
Yeah.
Because I used to, when I talk about being Puerto Rican and Jewish, I had to just completely scrap. Like there was a part of it where I was like, you know, growing up, the only other person I knew was Juan Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Right.
I had to scrap that shit and like.
Hell yeah. Because I'm over here like, what the fuck is Juan Epstein?
I was actually like, Cypher Sounds podcast?
Even I'm like.
I didn't even know the reference.
You don't know. You know, you guys never saw Welcome Back, Kotter?
Is that with John Travolta?
Yes.
No, that was before our time.
No, it was on Nick at Night.
Yeah, I guess it was.
I ain't had cable.
I guess it was.
I mean, me neither. But I went to my cousin's house. Like
I did too, but I mean, Nick at Night used to be like fucking...
George Lopez.
I don't know. Yeah, like it used to be like Goosebumps or...
Goosebumps. They're bringing that back.
Not Goosebumps. Tales from the Crypt. Was that on Nick at Night?
No. Are You Afraid of the Dark?
That's it. Are You Afraid of the Dark is what I'm thinking about.
That was a big one.
That used to scare the shit out of me. I never liked
all that. All that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so you're... Wait. Okay. I have a bunch of questions for
okay,
you.
Okay, cool.
I want to talk about Rattler Life.
Who?
Rattler.
FAMU?
Yeah. I know you rap hard.
Frank,
I don't know much
so
about it, but I want to know. I want to know your experience.
I never expected her to bring up my college life.
Yeah.
Wow, you have done some research on me.
I did. I've asked around.
All right. So yes, I'm a Rattler.
Yeah. So tell me about it. Like you're very proud of it.
I'm what was very your, proud.
What was your college experience? Why did you connect so much with it?
Okay. So I went to Florida A&M University, and that is in Tallahassee, Florida. It is a historically Black college and university. And it's just important. I've always wanted to go to a Black college. And it just helped shape me so much, you know, seeing so many Black students, Black professors. You never feel alone. I always urge Black people and people of color to go to HBCUs because they're so necessary. They help you just figure out who you are. They help sow into where you come from. We learn about where we come from, learn about our history. And, you know, it's just such a rich experience. You know, you got fraternities, sororities, and, you know, you meet so many lifelong friends and connections that you never would otherwise. There's some colleges that just don't have that. I mean, there were times when I would be, you know, in town for holidays and my professors are like, well, come over to my house. I'm cooking.
Wow.
And then you walk in and there's just a house full of students. They just didn't have anywhere to go. And now you have a completely different community. And every job that I've ever had has been because of somebody that went to FAMU.
Really?
Very
including Wildin' Out?
Not Wildin' Out, but when I went to Wildin' Out, there are like three or four people that went to FAMU that were like in transportation or in legal or in whatever. And they were able to, you know, come up to me and be like, hey, sis.
Right.
I don't know if you should do that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. You know, like, hey. You know, like. Just able to like help in certain ways. You know what I mean? Make sure my transportation on point. Sis, can you get me in comfort? Can you get me in first? You know, like those little things. So, FAMU is just, it's etched into me. I absolutely love my college experience. And it was just one of the best things ever.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah. Did you go to college?
I did. I went to University of New Hampshire. I don't feel as passionate
about it. That's what I'm saying.
I went there for 2 years and I transferred and I finished in the city at Marymount Manhattan uptown.
Do you feel excited about them?
I feel, and hear me when I say this, less than nothing about my experiences and the people I met.
That's hilarious. Yeah. But that's typically how it is.
I know. So that's why, like, when I heard you read Trina was telling me that.
Oh, yeah, my orange and green, honey. We are rattlers, baby. We don't play no games, okay?
Rattlesnakes. Is that what that was?
Rattlesnakes, baby. Yeah. We strike, and we strike again.
Again.
Okay, and you have, let me tell you something. Our homecomings, okay. You know our homecoming game?
Yes.
Baby, when I tell you the city is on tilt, we have so much fun. It's like a family reunion, barbecues, people step in. There's, you know, you see your friends from, you know, freshman year that you haven't seen in years, and it's babies, and it's just fine-ass men that then grew up. You be like, damn, he wasn't looking like that in 04. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, damn, you know, hey, big head, you at the party, you know, hey, big head, I see you doing well, you know what I mean? Y'all have a good little weekend and you take your ass back home. You know what I'm saying? It's a good fucking time.
So when is homecoming? October?
Yeah. Oh, yes, it is.
Are we going?
Halloween weekend. Oh, wow. Y'all trying to
That's
slide?
My birthday weekend.
Wow. Oh, you trying to slide? Listen, I'm going to look at my calendar because I really would love to go.
I would love to experience something like that.
It is so.
It's so beautiful. You had such a positive and like life-shaping experience, lifelong experience.
I'm excited. I'm glad that I had it. If I have kids, they definitely have to go to a HBCU. I don't care which one. I would love for them to go to FAMU.
Yeah.
But they have to go to a HBCU because it teaches you shit. Like, you know, our financial aid was shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to get your financial aid on time. Yes, you got to go and stand in the line. But that teaches you how to never take no for an answer and make sure you own your shit. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just taught you real world experiences. It was just such a great, I mean, it's just such a great place, truly. Mm-hmm. You know?
My kids will also go to an HBCU.
I know, that's right. Let's go, Luciana. Yeah.
I have an announcement. My kids will also go to an HBCU.
I love that. Come on, little Frank Frank. I love that.
I had to go. Oh, what was I? Oh, yeah. Were you in a sorority, or what was your like college personality like? Were you trying to do comedy already, or what was your deal?
So I, okay, this is shit. I don't think I realized that college was 4 years. Let me just say that. Like, it was supposed to be this 4-year experience. So what ended up happening was I started off at Tallahassee Community College, which is 2 years, but I turned it into 4 years.
Damn right you did.
I did.
Yes.
So because I took remedial math. I was remedial in math. So so I had to take each math class twice.
Okay.
Because I was that remedial.
Yes. Yeah, the IEP for the math.
Yeah. The IEP for the math. But the crazy thing is once I would fail the class the first time, and then that second time I would coast through that shit because I had already done it. So I was like, oh, I know how to do this. Right. And so, yeah, then I went over to FAMU, and then I did another 4 years. So I did 8 years. I was literally Ice Cube in higher learning.
Super senior.
Like, yeah, I was super senior. I was partying. I was hella partying. I had a blast. I was just out in the streets. I was doing too much. I was not doing my work at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I wasn't even trying. I remember one semester, I completely forgot I had a class. I looked at my report card, and I was like, damn, like I did have this class. I started out with this class. I went to this class one time.
Right. And it completely ghosted out of your
completely
mind.
Completely forgot I had a class.
Damn.
So yeah.
Now, but you're from Detroit. So what's the Florida connection?
I'm from Detroit.
Who's love Florida?
No. So what happened was there's this guy. His name was Mr. Brown. I don't know if he alive or dead, but I hope he alive.
Okay.
Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown was a guy in Detroit, and what he would do was he would get college students to go to college. He would get you your financial aid set up. He would do all the stuff that parents didn't want to do because they just didn't know how to do it and what the steps were. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, he would do everything. You would pay him money and he'd do it for you. So anyway, when I first met Mr. Brown, I wanted to be a fucking music engineer.
Okay.
So I go in there. I'm like, I want to be a music engineer. I want to go to Hampton University and I want to be a music engineer, right? He was like, you ain't going to Hampton. This is how he said it. You ain't going to Hampton. I'm sending you to Florida.
Wow.
And here go my mama. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, you don't even know what the fuck is in Florida. She's like, I don't care. Mr. Brown said you're going to Florida. That's where you're going.
Wow.
So I went to Florida because his whole thing was if you go to Tallahassee Community College first, then you get in-state tuition And you could transfer to the university with in-state tuition. So then you're paying less for college. So that's kind of how I was able to transition over to FAMU. So, I mean, that's just kind of how I ended up in Florida. There was no real story. And then my grades weren't great either. So in high school, my grades were trash. I barely graduated.
Right.
So he was like, girl, take your ass over to this community college and then, you know, transition your way.
That's amazing, though, that you weren't really into high school and you had such a success story in college.
Yeah. My grades were shit in college, too, though.
But the experience.
We got the experience.
Was what it's all about.
I mean, I went to my dean's office every day. I would talk to the dean. I said, hey, I'm still graduating, right? Because people start buying their flights. You know what I'm saying? Eight years, my whole family was in that bitch. I had probably like 40 people flying, right? So I kept going to his office. I'm like, yo, I'm still graduating, right? He said, if you come back to my office one more time, because I just kept asking, because I had to make sure that I was walking across that stage, because if all them people had bought that flight and I was not walking, it would have been a problem.
Right.
But yeah, I graduated. I did.
And then what was, then you came to New York for comedy or what?
Yes. So I didn't come to New York for comedy initially. I just always wanted to live in New York. So that was my thing. It was just like, yo, I'm moving to New York. I want to live in New York. From the time I was six, I think it was my first trip to New York, I was like, I'm moving here. This is my place. And so I ended up getting an internship with Deutsch Ad Agency, Donnie Deutsch.
Donnie Deutsch. Damn, I used to see him on like CNN.
Yes. I got an internship with Donnie Deutsch. They was paying and stuff. And the goal was to get in there and you know, do my thing. And they denied me. They didn't hire me after my internship.
Fuck Donnie Deutsch.
Yeah. I was kind of... But you know what? The interviewer was mad sweet. Because I went in for the interview. We both ended up crying in the damn interview. Sure. Yeah, we was real, like, emotional.
About, like, just life and all of this.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm fresh out of college. I'm actually grown. Because, remember, I spent 8 years.
She's 42, yeah, fresh out of college.
Exactly. I spent 8 years in college.
No, me too, Courtney. No, me too.
Wait, don't what was your... Because you did Scranton, mad random, right?
I was at the same university for 8 fucking years.
Wait, I didn't know you did 8.
I did
now, what the hell were you doing, bro? It's like armed robbery. What the hell were you doing?
I did 6 years for my bachelor's. I was a super duper senior.
Okay.
And then I did 2 years for my master's.
Okay.
At least you got a master's.
I had to. I was like, I can't
walk out
like
of here
this.
With that.
Right.
And that's actually good. When I was at the end of my 5th year, I still had one class left that they didn't offer till the spring. So that's why I had to stay a whole full year.
Yeah, whatever you had to tell yourself.
And I was like, because I failed it.
Oh, okay.
No, I failed a class spring semester at the end of the fifth year. So I had to wait till the 6th year. And I was like, I feel like a fraud. I don't wanna march and like graduation, whatever. But I was uninvited from my high school graduation.
How are you uninvited?
She had an incident. Let's hear this one.
I was uninvited from high school graduation. The point is, my mom was like, I haven't seen you walk across the stage.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Since junior high school. I don't give a fuck about criminology.
Yeah.
Take care of that next spring. You're walking across the stage. And I felt mad fake.
You deserve to cuss out. That's good.
Your mother
was
right.
She was right.
Now, what's the odds we're going to hear what this incident was?
Yeah, what was the incident?
I mean, is there any chance we're going to get this story?
It was alleged.
Okay.
Well, let's be straight to camera to me. Allegedly,
I had possession with intent to sell marijuana in a school zone. Okay.
Oh, school zones will fuck you.
Oh, yeah, that's an alleged.
You know, I was never tried nor convicted.
So then how the fuck they stop you from walking and you ain't been tried?
Because it was still a school. It was still like a dean's issue. Now, they called the cops. Like, there was a case. It was dismissed. I don't know what happened. But, but they were just like, yo, you could either go to prom or graduation. And I was like, duh, bitch.
Good choice.
Turn up.
Go to prom. And then, but I couldn't go to graduation. And I had to go to summer school. Mm. I failed like 2 different Englishes. Why was I in 2 different Englishes?
Yeah.
I hate that. Anyway, it was the worst.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I'm glad you beat those charges because it wasn't fucking right.
It wasn't.
That happened to my boy Joe Sack. And then everybody wore shirts that said Free Joe Sack.
I love it.
Even though he was not in jail.
That's hilarious.
But they were like, just let him go to graduation.
I love that. A united front.
Yeah, we have to put on a United have to. Front, folks.
We must.
Now, that brings us to our next topic, just because we're on it. OJ.
I was just going to say something about OJ.
Okay.
Because I just saw this.
We have to put on a united front, folks.
I just saw this footage.
Okay.
It was footage of the day that OJ won his trial.
Okay.
And it's fucking hilarious because you see all these rooms and it's like rooms full of black people. There are rooms and they're full of white people. There are rooms and they're full of black people and white people.
Right.
And there's just, and then you see the black people are just ecstatic when this verdict comes in, right? White people are distraught. Yep. Black people are hugging. We're united. And it was just, it was beautiful to see black people united. Yeah. But it was just like, he probably killed that white lady.
Yeah, he definitely killed that lady. But we were talking about it on the opening thing. It's a debt that was owed. Okay. It still ain't paid. I mean, like, they had to let him off.
I agree here. Because okay, Frank, I fuck with that
the,
mindset.
The criminal justice system owes a debt.
They definitely could have let that black man slide.
And
I
so
agree
I
with
think
you.
They had to let him slide, and I think that that was the right thing to do. I'm sorry for her family, obviously.
She was a victim.
She's a victim, and that's terrible. But if you zoom out, grand scheme of things, we owe him a few.
Hello. Rick, I like it.
So karma, the Lady Liberty with the justice, you say, we can give him this one. Let the man go.
Let the man off. Let him go. And honestly, if we be honest, OJ has not had a very great life since.
Right.
What has he been doing?
He went to jail anyway.
He went to jail for the dumbest shit.
Yeah. Like, he hasn't had a full life. Like, he's been struggling. So
didn't he like steal his own memorabilia?
Yep. Yeah. Or he tried to. Yeah.
And if anything.
But then that's the thing. It's like, now then is that karma swinging back the other way?
I think it is. Because it's the pendulum.
You
can't outrun it. You can't outrun your karma.
Yeah. It is a pendulum.
Nicole came back. She was up in there. She said, oh no.
Yeah.
You ain't about to live and love and, you know.
She said, oh no.
Oh no. I'm going to be on your ass. She was on his ass his whole life. And so, hey.
She was just singing Fleetwood Mac in that courtroom. You'll never get away from the sound.
Did you see Caitlyn Jenner tweeting?
Yes, I did.
But did y'all see the responses to that?
No, what were they?
Oh my God. The responses were fucking hilarious. All right. So one person said, you up next, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh no.
That's like wild and out. That's like a wild and out thing. That's a wild style.
Then somebody else said, they said, ain't nobody say nothing when Caitlyn killed Bruce.
Oh my God.
Wow.
But didn't one of them also kill somebody?
Well, Caitlyn Jenner, I believe, killed someone with her car or boat or plane.
Caitlyn
she ran
Jenner?
Somebody over,
I
by
believe
accident.
So.
Yeah.
I believe
was she
so.
Caitlyn at the time?
Yes.
She was Caitlyn.
No.
That's crazy.
And she hates OJ because
he
banged
his
wife.
Yeah.
He banged her what? Now do we? Oh, now this
Chloe got to be saying her daddy gone. You know, that's Chloe daddy.
I think it's the hairdresser.
For sure. Chloe didn't did a lot of like fillers and shit like that to get it all out of her, but. She got a black ass nose if you don't got no feelings. She black. That poor girl.
She's my favorite Kardashian though.
I fuck with Khloe. I think she's such a great girl.
I think she's deep.
I feel like the world really plays with her.
Really?
You know, like they're not kind to her for whatever reason. You know, like, you know, Tristan cheated on her like a million times. I but I mean, what girl ain't ever had some good dick and a man that they liked it? You let get over a couple of times.
Life is complicated.
Life is, hello.
Hello.
And that's what I always be trying to tell people. We all having a human experience. Yeah. Life is so fucking complicated. There is no right way to do any fucking thing.
Yeah, you like, won't know till the end if you made the right decision. And even then, you won't know.
You won't know. You just got to pray that you're going to heaven.
Yeah, and everything happens for the reason you give it.
And if you're going to hell, you better pray to somebody that can get you some water. Somebody somewhere.
Somebody somewhere.
Have you guys seen Kris Jenner's hairdresser who was alleged to be Khloe's dad?
Ooh.
Can we see it? Can you?
Yeah, I have.
Now, does he look like Khloe?
You tell me. There's one picture.
You know what be fucking it up? It's them picture. Original faces.
Look. Oh. Look at that man. Look at that woman, man.
I'm listening.
Look at that man.
Because Kris was out here fucking. She knew that.
I don't know.
She knew Bruce was wearing her panties and shit when she was gone.
That's crazy.
She knew.
And the thing is, like, she's all out everywhere saying, like, Nicole Brown was my best friend. That was my bestie.
Oh, wasn't her
best? It was her best friend.
That's why her and Rock.
So that's why. Yes. Wait, say what you're
saying. Oh, give me the tea.
No, Trina, I want you to speak right now.
Can you allegedly?
Allegedly. Do the allegedly.
Yeah. Straight to camera. Allegedly. Back to you.
Allegedly. That's what started the crumbling in the foundation between Kris Jenner and Robert Kardashian, because he was taking up as one of the, he wasn't, of course, like the main lawyer, but he was a lawyer and he was standing with OJ.
Yeah, big time.
And so she was just like, fam, you know, he killed my best friend. The fuck is up with you? And right. But he stood by OJ's side. Come on, y'all didn't watch the David Schwimmer, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Wait,
shit?
But if we, it's just such a tangled web, because it's like, the dad is the lawyer.
Right.
The mom is the woman, is the dead woman's best friend.
Right.
And the mom fucked the husband's best friend.
Allegedly.
Mm. Allegedly.
Definitely.
Is that, that's so complicated. Life is complicated.
Life
it's
is
messy.
So
it's
complicated.
Messy.
You can't say what you wouldn't even fucking do. You could be like, I'm a good person. Yeah. It would never. And then all of a sudden you in a room with your husband's best friend. Like, shit.
Yeah, you're like, shit.
That dick looks scrumptious.
It's crazy when your husband's best friend is also your best friend's husband, though. That's kind of beast.
That's why it's like even hard to get straight. Like, I need to like write it out in a chart to like figure out all the entanglements here. Mm. But I won't. But
I don't even look at my friend's man. Like, if you got a man, I don't even look him in the eye. I look at the ground. I don't even want to see your man.
That's
I don't
want
to talk
girl.
To your man. I don't want to know what I don't want to know shit about your man.
Yeah. Right?
Except for what you you know what I'm saying? The girl talk shit. But when I'm in, we ain't going to dinner. I don't want to be no third wheel. I don't got to sit with y'all at dinner. I don't want to do nothing with your man. Leave your man be over there.
You're a girl's girl.
I'm a girl's girl when it comes to that shit. Yeah. Don't be looking at my man.
Well, some people, unfortunately, get like aroused by the idea of stealing someone else's person.
Isn't those whores.
These fucking hoes.
These whores and these Jezebels.
But like I said, life's complicated, folks.
Life is
so
complicated.
You just never know.
I tell you. You ever been cheated on?
Yes, I have.
Really?
Very painful.
Really? How'd you find out?
I started finding out on Instagram.
That damn Instagram.
And then I finished finding out, threatening to kill him if he didn't tell me.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, it starts and ends different places.
Very aggressive.
Messy. Yeah.
Were you on top of him, like with a knife?
No, but I should have been.
Yeah, that would have made it way better. Visually, in my mind, you were on top of him with a knife.
And I like that, so let's keep it that way.
That's good. A
yeah,
butter
so
knife.
Who's to say I couldn't be OJ?
Truly.
People get mad.
People get upset. Bodies disappear.
People get mad every day in America.
I know. Bodies disappear every day
in America. Every day in America.
Because we still haven't found Hoffa.
Jimmy James.
Nobody's found him.
Is that true?
True. Yeah, it's true.
No, yeah, no. Damn. Trump's found him. But that was professional. That was not.
Yeah. He's under Giant Stadium. That's what
they he's say. Under Giant Stadium
That's
for
what
sure.
They say, yeah.
Really? Y'all think he's under the Giant Stadium?
Yeah. Why do you think that?
That's good dirt.
What's the evidence, Mikey?
Yeah, why would that
it's
be?
It's just, I mean, it's kind of like an urban legend, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he fucked over the New York mob. And probably not just the New York mob, but he was fucking over the mob who was, like, in business with the Teamsters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you can't mess with the Teamsters, this we know.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, we've all seen Breaking Bad, yes?
Actually, no. I haven't.
What is wrong with you?
So much.
God,
tell us though.
Guys, y'all have got to watch Breaking Bad.
Okay, I
will. Well, in Breaking Bad, they really do tell you how to do it.
Mm.
Just go to Home Depot, get a bunch of shit.
Mm. How to do what? Kill somebody?
Well, get rid of the body.
Mm. What, lie?
No evidence.
I'm Russian. I'm Eastern European. So we you just put a bunch you in a bathtub with lie.
Well, doesn't Drano. That, but doesn't that put the hole in the bathtub?
No, not porcelain.
Oh, it gotta be
porcelain. She said it with such authority, bro.
You got to be in an old ass house, though. You got to be an old ass house.
Allegedly.
Yeah, all I've alleged. Heard. And you know how heavy a motherfucker is to put them in a tub? All right, this is getting more.
All right, all right.
I don't want the FBI or anybody to be like.
All right, we'll do a 180. We'll do a 180.
All right, let's do a 180.
A complete freaking solar eclipse right now.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay, so, but I saw you moved exactly a year ago to LA, right?
I did.
And your life kind of like.
changed.
Blew up. Yeah, changed.
It did. It definitely changed.
So what was that like?
That was amazing. I was here in New York and I was substitute teaching. So I was substitute during the day and then do comedy at night. Mm-hmm. And I'd already been on Wildin' Out and stuff like that. But, you know, those checks come and go. I mean, you know, sure it happens very quickly.
And it starts at what, 1,000 a nap?
Yeah.
It happens very quick.
It happens so
quick. Two dinners. It's two dinners. A season of Wildin' Out, two dinners.
And maybe a rent payment. You might be able to give your best friend a couple dollars.
But not much.
Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I was still teaching. And Nika hit me up and was kind of like, yo, we got this Amazon deal. You want to move to LA? And I was like, I don't know about that. But you know what? You're Nick Cannon. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And so it took months and months. I honestly did not think that it was going to happen. And so I gave up. Me and my roommate got into it. She served me papers. I was about to fight that bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And literally hit me up and was like, yo, we the deal is finalized. Let's move. And then 10 days later, I was in LA. And I mean, my life has been amazing ever since. I'm not crazy about LA, but I do have a blessed life. Like I've gotten so many opportunities and so many doors have opened. And Nick has been just such a great, I call him my boss bestie. You know, we got matching tattoos. Crazy.
Really? Yeah. What's a tat?
It says Jesus is my homeboy.
Hell yeah.
Cause he and I debate over religion a lot.
I used to have that t-shirt.
He's right. Yeah. It's so cool. He and I have same beliefs with different beliefs when it comes to religion. So we have these big debates. Mm-hmm. So we had a big debate and then the audience agreed that we were both right. So we both had to get the tattoos or whatever. So, but Nick has been amazing. He's always advocating for me and just putting me in different rooms and introducing me to people. And it's been just such an amazing experience. So I'll be in LA for, you know, as long as God will have me. And, I'll just be coming back and forth to New York because I still love New York. New York is such a great place for comedy.
Yep.
Like I love comedy. So, I've been here for a month doing comedy, been doing shows and having a great time too. So it's been great.
I got to go back to one thing. Mm-hmm. You said you're still substitute teaching. After Wildin' Out, how old were the kids?
Middle schoolers.
So did they watch Wildin' Out?
Yes.
Yes. And?
They were so excited. Yes. I mean, they were just excited to see me. It was crazy because I would go to work looking raggedy as fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm talking no makeup. Barely had on a bra, you know, because I'm a substitute. Mm-hmm. Substitutes shouldn't have to really do too much. I'm not no fucking teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm not certified. You know, ass down. These are the worksheets that your teacher has left. That's it. Right? So, but once they noticed me, mm-hmm. it was like, oh, now I got to get dressed.
I remember.
Now I got to make myself look decent every day. Because these kids, they were just so excited. I mean, you for a while now. Oh, my God. You know, it just completely changed how they listen to me and, you know, stuff like that. But it was cute. It was always cute.
They were probably so excited.
But they're so, you know what I found, too? Because I've always taught. I've taught for years and years and years. A lot of them hit me up and just would tell me how proud they were. I mean, because they would see. I mean, they saw me in the classroom, you know. And how, you know, motivating it was to see somebody that they actually knew, you know, get on TV and stuff like that. And a lot of my students, I always tell them that I was a comedian. So they knew I was doing comedy and stuff like that. So they would always ask me, can I come to one of your shows? And it was like, girl, you ain't old enough, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of them have grown up and they're doing well. And I'm proud of the kids that I taught and where I was able to influence. It's been amazing.
Absolutely. It's a blessing.
It is, truly.
Did you watch the solar eclipse? Thoughts?
I did. I was so excited, right? So I'm up there on the roof and I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, it's eclipse day. Yeah. And I watched it in Harlem with my homegirls, but it was so funny because once it started like coming over, right? And it turned into a crescent. You can mm-hmm. see the crescent. Mm-hmm. I was like, when the fuck is it going to move over? And then one of the girls was like, you know, that's it. Like, it's not going over anymore. And I was like, I wish I was like fucking Hitch or something so that I could just push it over a little bit so that I can get it on my side.
I know.
It didn't, you know, I didn't get to see the full thing.
Yeah.
I heard you got to see the full thing.
Yeah, I went to Ohio.
How was that?
I cried.
Aww,
it was beautiful.
Was it?
It's just like beautiful. It's so random. You're just like, what the fuck? Because when you get that that little sliver, mm-hmm. and it pushes and falls into twilight.
Wow.
It just feels like spiritual or something.
Really?
Yeah. It was really beautiful.
It was really dark.
It was not quite night, but it was like this strange, like twilight.
Yeah.
It was like a magical color.
Could you see stars or no?
No stars. Okay. No, well, actually, I wasn't even looking. So maybe you could. But okay. I didn't see any stars, no.
Really?
And then you see this like glowing ring around the moon from the sun coming behind it.
That's dope.
And then when the moon moves off of it, there's like a burst of light. You're like, damn.
That's crazy.
It was crazy.
That's insane. I said the next eclipse, because Trina told me that you went. I said the next eclipse. I was like, I'm going.
Guess where it is and when?
In the path.
Guess when and where? Guess where we're going, girls.
What's that, 44,
2026,
right?
Spain. No. And Portugal.
Let's
we book out.
It.
Go.
Book it.
We out. Yeah.
It's going through Iceland, northern Spain, and like Portugal. 2026. Oh,
let's go. Yes. That's madly.
Because the next one in the U.S. is until like 2044. We don't have time for that.
Right. We can't put it off.
We have to go see.
We gotta go. Gotta go to Spain, girls.
Oh my goodness, that would be so much fun. I would love that.
I'm down.
Yeah, I'm down.
Northern Spain?
I think so.
That's where my family's from. I've never been. I've only been to like Madrid and Barcelona and then like southern Spain.
Well, you need to call them up. You need to call the cousins.
No one's there. I mean, like once upon a time from like before Puerto Rico.
Well, you need to go home then and see. Yeah. See your roots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're from Galicia.
Ooh.
Where everyone has red hair.
Really?
Because it's like across the water from Ireland. We're not so different, you and I, friends.
You and I, 23 and me couldn't tell us nothing. We're not so different. Yeah. You and I.
They wear what is it, a kilt?
I don't know. Tell me. I don't know about your people.
They wear the skirts.
The black kilt.
Skirt. Yeah, the kilt. In Galicia.
Really?
Galicia.
Yeah. Well, so when I did 23 and me, I was like, okay. My family's from Puerto Rico. It's an island. I want to know where I'm really from, not a fucking island.
Yeah.
And then the 23andMe came back and was like, Canary Islands. I was like, what the fuck? How am I still from an island? Which is like technically Spain, but it's by Morocco. And I'm just like, okay, I don't know. I don't know what's up with Canary Islands. And then the strongest concentration after that was southern Spain and Galicia. And that made sense because my grandma had red hair. One of my mom's sisters has red hair. A cousin of mine has red hair. It's crazy.
Interesting.
So we out to northern Spain. We're going to go to the fucking Game of Thrones tour.
You're going to
Castle. Is there a tour? You think there's a tour?
Yes.
There's got to be.
There's tours.
The best ones probably are in New Zealand.
I want to get dressed.
I don't have.
Do a little LARPing?
Yes. Game of Thrones.
Let's do a little LARPing.
Let's do
2026
it.
Under the
Malady, my liege.
My lord.
My lord.
I don't have the leg bendiness to fly to New Zealand, bro. I got Spain and that's it.
That's why we got to get to...
How far is that? It's far?
Mad far.
Really?
Because it's near like Australia. We got to do... Let's manifest, girls.
I like that.
Let's manifest.
That's energy. Okay.
We got to get a sponsored trip.
Amen.
To create some type of content or show or something about the next eclipse. So we're flying first. And we're up in the hotels.
That's right, baby.
And it's something like the girls go... The New York girls go to see the dumb eclipse in Spain or something. Just
in the name
it.
Of Jesus, but also in the name of the sun and the moon and whatever.
And all the stars.
And the Holy Ghost.
The stars and the Holy Ghost.
Everything.
Hiya.
Hiya. What's your favorite? So you do stand up, you host, you battle. What do you think is your like?
I do not battle. I play with them boys up there, but I don't be battling. They be beating my ass. It's a battle.
Where do you feel like the best? Where do you feel like it's all heading for you? What's your hopes and dreams?
Oh, wow. Right. You know, I thought that this podcast would be so much more like trivial. This is so deep. I'm like, damn. My dreams. My
all right. How about this? What'd you have for lunch today?
Okay. Now we're talking.
Let's talk.
I had pickles.
What kind?
I love a deal. I'm a deal girl. Sour. Ooh, a sour deal.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I'm a pickle purist. I really love pickles. Mm-hmm. Pickles are my favorite. So I had a pickle with an artichoke dip on a chip.
Mm. Oh.
It was a combination. Because the pickles were chopped up. So I just put it on the chip with the artichoke dip. Cheddar and sour cream chip.
Wow. Amazing.
Try it, folks. Try it. It'll change your life.
That's a beautiful flavor combination.
That's right. Then I had a bowl of Cheerios. But I told you I'm on my period. So there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. A lot of energy is coming and going.
A lot of but I also would like to share with you my hopes and dreams, though.
Okay, good.
Okay. So my hopes and dreams. Where do I see it all going? Well, you know what? I see it going. I see acting coming.
Good.
I really want to do some movie roles. Because my goal is to have a brand, right? Mm-hmm. That is strong so that I don't want to have to get on stage. Like, I don't want to have to do comedy in order to pay my bills. If I want to get on stage, cool. But I don't want to have to get on stage. And that's what I kind of want. I want to do movies and different brand deals and things of that nature so that I'm getting all these millions and millions of dollars. And then when I want to get on stage and I want to go travel the world, then I can. But I don't have to. I can kind of just live freely.
It's beautiful.
That's the goal.
The brand is strong.
Just wake up and do what the fuck I want.
Fuck yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
That is the
That's
goal.
You literally work like 1 month out the year or 2 months out the year and then you up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if I could create that life, and you know, people are creating the lives that they want. Like, it's literally happening for us via social media and and the internet and, you know, whatever. People are creating these lives for themselves. So why not me?
I mean, I just met you.
Frank.
But I'm feeling...
I've learned so much from you.
I'm feeling... like you're on a great path.
I feel like I'm on a great path too. I like the path that I'm on. I'm grateful that I stuck to the path.
Say it again.
I'm grateful that I stuck to the path because comedy is a hard path. Dreams, your goal, like those are hard paths when they are not, you know, in cubicles, when they're not 9 to 5s, when they are not guaranteed $50,000 a year, when you don't have guaranteed money and you're going towards these dreams and these goals, it is hard. And I mean, I've had a lot of low seasons. But it was just always something in me that wouldn't let me stop. It was like, no, because I remember I had stopped comedy for like 6 months. And it was like that Jumanji drum just beating in my spirit, Like, you got to get back on that stage, get back on that stage. It's insane. My ex that cheated on me and had a baby, he was the one that came into my life and was like, You telling me you're a comedian, but you're not doing enough shows. And he was like, you need to at least have 2 shows booked this week. And then next week he'd be like, you at least need to have 4 shows booked this week. And then next week, and I would literally do it. Like, I would literally be like, okay. And it helped me kind of start to get into this rhythm of doing comedy every single week and doing shows. And I can't stand him, but you know, and I wish him the best.
And I do wish him the best.
But he really did.
Painful, bro,
he helped me I needed it because it helped push me to where I am now.
Yeah.
When everything fell apart, I had comedy to help like keep me together, get me out the house. You know what I'm saying? Get me out of my bed, even though I was crying at the bar after telling the jokes. But it helped, you know, just catapult me to where I am now. So I'm just grateful that I didn't stop. You know what I mean? Because anytime you stop, you miss 100% of the shots that you never take.
Shout out Wayne Gretzky.
That's right, baby.
Also, it's like to have comedy. I don't really do a lot of stand-up, but just comedy, like all the stuff that I do.
Yeah.
It's like in my control.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting on
anybody.
A call. I'm not waiting. It's like, that's empowering.
And you love it. You know? Like, you love it. It's your passion. It don't feel like work because you literally getting up. I mean, shit, me. I would get up. I would go to sleep. I wouldn't go to sleep till like 4 or 5 in the morning because, you know, comedy hangs. You'll be out there all night. And then get up in the morning, go right to work and be back and do it right again and have a blast. I mean, living. You're around legends, around Dave Chappelle, Michael Che, Tracy Morgan, fucking Michelle Wolf, fucking, you know, Wanda Sykes, Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, you're around people that you never could have imagined. You know what I'm saying? You're having conversations with these people. You're being introduced to these people. People that your mom is like, oh my God. You know, and it's all because you kept going. It's all because you said, I believe in me. I believe in what I want for my life. And I know that I can have a life that I love. Our parents didn't get those opportunities. Our parents had to be teachers or factory workers, or, you know, they had to get regular jobs. But for us, we're able to be dreamers and actually live and exist in the dreams that we've created for ourselves. And I think it's amazing.
It is amazing. It's been beautiful.
This has been beautiful, Frank. A beautiful surprise. A
beautiful surprise.
You have such a great energy and calm about you. That's very interesting. When Trina told me about you, I did not think that you would have such a like calming and serene energy.
You don't want to know what I said.
She goes, she's a crazy bitch.
Yes.
She eats vapes. She eats the vapes.
I was like, yo, you know what I like about Frex? That bitch don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's what she said. She's like, she don't be giving a fuck. I was like, okay.
It's kind of, it's true. But then I am all fresh off the energy of the moon and the sun from the eclipse.
Mm, yeah.
So but I like this.
I'm
like,
going inward.
Just, I mean, you sew in, you know, you're sewing into me. And I think that that's amazing. And I feel it and I receive it. You have a great energy. I love it. That's love beautiful. The space that you've created here.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Mike. And Trina really put me on to a lot of the research.
That bitch.
Let's talk about Trina for a second.
Yeah, we can talk about Trina. That's my
let's take us out with a little Trina talk.
Okay. Trina talk.
I did want to say real
quick. I love this bitch. Go ahead.
Mike is pulling the Nick Cannon with the sunglasses while we're doing the show.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Talk about Trina.
He has migraines. No. His issues. I love Trina, and I knew I was going to love Trina because we followed each other on Instagram, and I thought all the memes that she posted were mad funny.
She's good at
and
memeing.
And she would always, like, you know, comment on the memes that I posted that I thought were funny. So I go, we have the same connection. Sense of humor. We have, and isn't it crazy that a meme could do that?
Yeah.
And then I said, you better come on the pod.
Yeah.
But that's crazy that
and
that's
I
how
love
ever,
this bitch.
Right? She's like so amazing. Yeah. Just such a great human being. Just so loving and kind. Like I beat a bitch ass for Trina. Yeah. And that's the energy. That's what she gives too. Like Trina's very like loyal. I fuck with her. Like she a good one.
I think the qualities of friendship that we're all exhibiting that we all like about each other. Loving.
Mm-hmm.
Loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And wild.
Yes.
So no, it's true.
I think that's the trifecta.
I love you guys. I love you guys so deeply true. As well. And I met you at different times.
In life.
But
right?
Still through comedy, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. In a sense.
And social media. I used to do fucking makeup.
Oh, really?
In lockdown.
In lockdown. Yeah, Trina came on my makeup. I was on Zoom doing makeup tutorials and Trina came out there. And I said, what is she doing here? And she was like, bitch, I need to know how to do my eyebrows now.
The eyeshadow.
Right. It was a good time. But that's how we kind of got close because I was like, oh, she came to my Zoom. Now that's nice.
Now that's a friend.
That's a friend because I was charging bitches for that little Zoom.
Yeah, it was $20. Yeah. It was lockdown. I was like, get it how you live it. Yeah. Everybody's a working comic, you know?
Let's try to figure it out.
Listen, real friends, log in. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's some real shit. I like that.
All right, this has been a fucking awesome episode. Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody check out Courtney B. Everybody check out Trina at Julo.
Mm-hmm.
And you're at Courtney B.
At The Real Courtney B. B-E-E.
Beautiful. I'll see you guys next week. I love you very much. Leave me a fucking voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, I think solo episode. Number off the top of my head. 347. Pack one, Gus.
Pack one Gus. I was going to say, I
can't remember the numbers, but I know it's 347 pack one Gus. Leave me a voicemail. Okay. And I'm going to talk about your issues.
I love that.
I love you guys. I'll see you next week. Thank you for being here.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.